I thank you for every moment we have together. Lord, I know that there's people in this room from all different places, all different stages of life, and God, I ask that you would speak to and with each one of us tonight. Help us to wrestle with issues of faith, to ask tough questions, and to allow you to speak even in the midst of doubt at times. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited about this new series in June, although traditionally June is a season where people are like all examined up in their head. They're thinking about Regents and different things going on, and I know that you've got a lot going on. It's a critical, and that's why it's so important that we talk about this issue that we're talking about. This series is titled, this new series we're doing just for the month of June is called Don't Be Stupid With Your Life. You can look up at the screen and see that beautiful image. Don't be stupid with your life. How many of you guys know what it's like to be stupid with your life? Don't raise your hand. You know, like, no. It was him. He was the one that was stupid with his life. No, I'm just kidding. But we're talking about, the reality that you have one and only one life to live. Your start was once, and your finish will be once. You started out of the gate one time, and you'll cross over the finish line once, and all that time in between is your one life. And it's up to you to live it in a way that is worthy of non-stupidity. And it's up to you how it gets lived, whether it gets lived foolishly or wise, whether it gets lived for strong, healthy reasons or poor, weak reasons. It's totally up to you, and it's your choice. So this series is all about ways. One, ways you can be stupid with your life, but also people in God's Word, people in the Bible who chose to do things or choose to do things that that they could have been stupid and they chose not to, or, as we'll see tonight, some people who did some stupid things themselves and for why they did them and why we can avoid that. So that's what we're going to talk about. I'm excited about Pastor Claude being here next week to speak. After that, we've got a couple other people that are going to be at the microphone for this series, so you're not going to want to miss it. If you know somebody who's being stupid with their life right now, and don't raise your hand, and don't say, yeah, I know somebody who's being stupid with their life. If you know somebody who's being stupid with their life right now, you want to get them here. Okay, you want to get them here next week, and the week after, and the week after that, so they can hear about how they are not the only ones that are being dumb with their life. And as a matter of fact, I think if we're honest, we can all say that at some point we did something stupid with our lives and we wish we could turn it back, or we avoided it because somebody said, hey, watch out, don't do that, and we missed it. So here's a what I did was I was talking with Maddie Bullard. Maddie, I threw a T-Y at the end of your name there, Maddie. Matt. And I said, Matt, can you find me some pictures of people who just did some stupid things with their lives? And we unpacked a couple different ideas, and I'll just be frank with you all. Be careful what you search on Google. I'm almost not even going to use it anymore, because you could type in, like, I don't know, like, you could type in, don't be stupid with your life, and all kinds of stupid stuff comes up. So don't type in anything in Google, because it's just not worth it. Go somewhere else. Anyway. Check this out. This first picture we found is somebody doing something stupid with their life. Let's see who's the first one that can pick up on that. Anybody see stupid things? This guy had one job to do, and he spent his time putting labels on bottles, and instead of putting them on the right way, he put them on upside down. Some stupid way to spend his life. Check this next one out. This girl is just sad. You know, she's got one job to do, and she chooses to take her life and use it like that. I won't call her stupid. I'll just say a little misdirected. That's sad. Now this next guy, don't put the picture up yet. Now there's some people like this girl we should have a little mercy on. Maybe she wasn't looking at the sign that she was holding up. But this next guy, this is just one of the stupidest ways to use your life I have ever seen on the planet. Look at this guy. He's like, what is he thinking? And I know if you're listening by podcast, you don't know what's happening, but it's a dude in a toga wrestling a tiger by the tail. And at any moment, that little tiger right there could probably bite off and make his arm a nub if he wanted to, or just jump over and get him by the neck. Now, The reality is, we've all done things stupid, as we've said, and we've all even seen pictures of things like this, and some things we could do even daily. I mean, how many of you guys haven't gone through your house and thought about doing maybe different tricks or different things that you could try? Maybe you saw something on the internet and you thought, oh, I could do that. Well, this video that I'm going to show you, I don't want you to try this at home, but it's just one more example of ways people spend their lives and they're just plain stupid. Check this out.
At first glance, taking this tomato down through these spinning fan blades may seem impossible, but I'm here to show you it's not. This must be done all in one motion. Okay, guys, watch me go to work.
Oh! All right. And again, there's plenty of different ways to use your life. Some of them are stupid. Some of them are wise. If you have a ceiling fan at home, you know, we want you to be careful what you're doing. And again, this month, all through the month of June, we're talking about, you know, don't be stupid with your life. Don't be stupid, all right? So that's what we're talking about. And tonight, I want to read to you a story that's about some brothers. How many of you guys got a brother? You got a brother or a sister at home? You got somebody who you're a sibling with? I want to read a story to you from Genesis. And throughout the month, we're going to be intersecting with the life of Joseph in Genesis. And I want you to hear just the beginning of this story. Now, just to fill you in on what has happened so far, it's a long story about in the Old Testament, in the history of the Jewish people, in the history book called the Bible, where they came from slavery and they came from different parts. And you might have seen the movies about Moses and Joseph, the animated movies. I don't know how much background you have in it. But at this point, we see Jacob, whose name gets changed to Israel, and he's the father of these boys. And he loves his son dearly. And we see here the beginning of the story of Joseph. And I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to see just today we're going to look at how his relationship is with his brothers and how they choose to be stupid with their lives. So if you have a Bible, if you have a phone, if you have something that you can open up to, you can open up to Genesis chapter 37. And I'm just going to read verse 1 through 4, and then we'll unpack it just a little bit and then jump to some questions. This is how it reads. Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph being 17 years old. How many of you guys are 17? Any 17-year-olds in the room? Two of you. Great. He was 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers, which basically means he was out feeding the sheep. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph, and if you're interested at all in like crazy scandal in real life, read the history book that we call the Bible. I mean, there are some chapters in there that will just curl your toes. This guy had three wives. There's plenty of other stories about people with too many wives and too many other things. But so he's out there hanging out with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age, which basically means he was Joseph's last son, or he was a son born to him in his later years, okay? And he made him a robe of many colors, which is significant. It's a really important content here that Joseph had this beautiful robe that was made for him by his father, very clearly portrayed Joseph as the favorite son, okay? So Joseph has this coat. His dad's all in love with him. He's very clearly the favored son. And here's the stupid moment, all right? Here's the stupid moment of the brothers' lives. And I'll talk about why it's stupid in a minute, but for a minute, I'm just going to throw it up here on the screen. So if you don't have a Bible, you can check it out. But here's what the brothers did. They got stupid. And it says, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now, let's just pause there for a second, because I know you guys who all rose your hand when you said, I got a brother at home, I got a sister at home, you might have said to them at one point or another, I hate you. I don't want to play with you. My little girls, sometimes they'll say, you're not my best friend anymore. right? And I know that, like, one of them will cry, and the other one will come and tell me, like, she's being mean, and, you know, I have to deal with it. That's not the kind of hate they're talking about here. That's not the kind of hate. They're talking about a deep hatred. The brothers are saying, we are, the word says that they are beginning a deep-seated hate and betrayal towards Joseph because of what has happened, because of this favoritism that has been shown to him. And what the brothers are really seeking after, if you look into this text, what the brothers are seeking after is something we're all seeking after, and that's the love of their father. They want that special love, that favor that their dad is giving to Joseph. And who doesn't, right? Who doesn't want the love of their father, the care and concern of a father to them, and then for that to go back and forth? And they're not getting it. And the stupid thing that they're doing is they're hating their brother for what they're not getting from their father. Okay? So stupidity enters the game. Now, really what this passage is about and what this night is about is what owns you. What owns you really is what tonight is about. And to understand what owns us, we have to understand what we treasure, what we want most in the world. What is that thing that we would give up our stuff for? What is the thing that we would give up our lives for? And if you've been around a while, you know that you've heard this definition of worship before, and it's the old English word for worship, where we get our word worship from, was actually worth-ship. And it was a jeweler's term that people used to identify the value of a jewelry item. And if you can imagine with me, the idea of worship is that it's something you treasure that you're willing to give up something you own for or to go and work to get it. So if you can picture with me kind of walking down the street and you're with your girl or you're with your guy and you walk by the jewelry store and there's this beautiful big old gold ring in there and you just stop for a minute and you go, oh, I would love to have that. Maybe if, you know, and then the girl says back to the boyfriend, grow up. No, I'm just kidding. That's the girl's voice saying, oh, I'd love to have that. And what does the guy do? If he loves her, if he cares for her, if he treasures her, he makes sure she gets what? She gets the ring. She gets that $20,000 engagement ring, right? Because he treasures her and he wants her to have what he gets. So he goes out and he works his tail off, he gets it. Here's a different example. Last week we went to the mall. Actually, this week we just went to the mall, and my son and daughter work out over at UA in Great Northern. And down the hall from UA is GameStop. Any video gamers in the room? Any video gamers? How many guys have ever done this? This is what my son did before he went to the gym. He's like, he is so not a pre-planner. But when it comes to video games, he's like an architect. He could be an engineer if he wanted to be. He goes into the game room downstairs in our house, and he starts choosing the games that are worth less to him. Because he's got in his mind a game called, guys, help me out, what's the big popular game on, not Call of Duty, the Minecraft, right? So he wants to get Minecraft for Xbox, and he's thinking about Minecraft in his head, and it's got tons of worth for him. So he's going through his video games, his old video games, he's going, worth less than Minecraft, worth less, worth less, until he's got like 15 of these old video games stacked up. He's like, yeah, it's worth it. So he takes them in a bag, and he takes them into GameStop, and he says, how much can I get for these? And the guy goes through all of them and rings them all up, and he says, you got about $24. And what does he say? He says, okay, how much is Minecraft for Xbox? The guy says, 19. So he says, I'll take it. And he's got $4 extra, right? $5 extra. So he takes it home. Very simple example of what it means to treasure something or to place worth-ship on something. He was willing to sacrifice the games that he had that were worth less than the thing he wanted. And here's what happens in this story. It's a very simple example of what happens in the story. These brothers, they have placed ultimate value on the love of their father for them. And they're willing to trade their care and concern for their brother to get what they want from their dad. And they think by hating their brother, they can begin to gain the love of their father. Right? And how many of us could say in this room tonight that we've seen things in this world that we've wanted so badly, that we've given things up of our lives, and we've said, I'm willing to sacrifice this thing so that I can get that, because that's worth so much more to me. And we do something stupid with our life because we want something that we treasure more than God himself. Now, I know that kind of sounds crazy. If you're not a Christian in the room, if you don't believe that Jesus is real, you're like, why would that be stupid with my life? I mean, there's great video games out there, and I'll trade like 100 video games for the next Call of Duty video game. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about here is the reality that sometimes we see something and we think that that thing, if we get it, it will give us what we need at our deepest part of who we are. So we work hard to get it. We work hard to gain that thing. We work hard to grab hold of it. And then we get it and we realize it's not what we wanted in the first place. But the wreckage is, what we don't realize we're doing is we're allowing that thing we're chasing after to own us. Because what happens is when you start worshiping something, when you decide that that thing in the window or that game behind the counter or that girl in the hallway is worth sacrificing life and energy and time for, then what you do is that object of affection that you have now sacrificed life for begins to own you, begins to control your behavior. And you could, by chance, do some really stupid things with your life because you've placed your affection on something that is not life-giving. Now, the brothers, they did some crazy stuff, and we're going to talk about that in weeks upcoming. We're going to talk about what kinds of issues that their worship of their father's love caused for them. But and I'm going to ask you some questions, but here's the simple, straightforward, big idea. What you worship directs how you spend your life. And really, if I can say it more plainly, what you worship owns you. What you worship owns you. And sometimes we think what we worship, we own. We can get a hold of it. And we finally, when we get it in our hands, it reminds me of that Lord of the Rings kind of trilogy where that little monster guy gets his hands on the ring and says, "It's my precious little ring." And he thinks that he's got possession of it, but in reality, it's owning him. Right? Smeagol, that's his name. And he's grabbed a hold of it, he's done all this work to get it, and he realizes in the end that it owns him. And he can't even let it go because it's got control over his life. What is it in your life that you've worked hard, you've sacrificed life, energy, and effort for to grab hold of, and then you've only realized at the end of it, it's controlling you instead of you controlling it? What is it? What is that thing for you? What is it? Everybody's worshiping something. But there's only one thing in life that if you worship it, it gives you life back. In 1 John chapter 19, there's kind of this crazy Christian belief, and I'll tell you this, I believe it because I'm a Christian, but if I was outside of Christianity and I looked into it from kind of a non-believing or kind of wondering mindset, I would think there's a whole bunch of crazy stuff about Christianity. There's questions that I would have about God sending his only son, dying on a cross, bleeding out, dying and going to, you know, a grave and then raising again in 3 days. I mean, have you ever thought, like, that sounds outrageous to me? Well, there's some other things about Christianity that if I didn't have time to dig through this and really dig and have faith, it would sound kind of outrageous. Guys, have you ever heard the idea that if you believe and if you receive Jesus Christ and believe in his name, God gave you the right to become children of God? God gave you the right to become his children. Now, think about that for a second, okay? Check out of Kingdom Kids mode. Check out of Impact and Rangers, like, Bible study, small group, like, stuff. Check out of that for a second. And think about this. God, the creator of the universe, the one who created before time began, the hair on your head, the shoes on your feet that you love so much, whatever shoe is your favorite, the God who created grass, trees, water, air, the lungs that breathe in oxygen, the God who created all that, who is on high above the sky, down below the earth, who's present in all things, all-knowing, all-seeing, that God that Christians believe in says, if you believe in my name and trust me, you're my child. Now, what I just did is threw a word in there that means totally different things to all of you guys. Because some of you, you hear the word child and you think, man, I don't want to be a child. Because being a child in my house means not good things. Being a child in my friend's house, man, if I was a child over there, that'd be cool. Because I know that family, they got it together. Here's what God does. He says to all of us in all creation, there's nothing you could ever pay me. There's nothing you could ever sacrifice in your life that could make me love you more. There's nothing you could ever sacrifice in your life. There's nothing you could ever do or be that would make me love you less. He loves you to the fullest, to the deepest, to the greatest, to the widest, to the deepest. And he said the only thing that you need to do is believe and receive in my name, my son. And in that moment in 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 9, it says that you become an adopted child of God. And here's the kicker, is that in the Old Testament we see in Genesis 37, these guys are doing these stupid things, hating on their brothers because they want the love of a father that is human and that is wavering and that is in towards Joseph, that is unequal. And the whole time we see an opportunity, as we fast forward in this history book, an opportunity to be loved by a God who we can allow to own our lives and who in return makes us children of his and gives us life and light and strength. Tonight I want to close with a few questions for you. We've got just a few minutes left, and we've done this before, and I want to do it again. So I'm going to ask in just a few minutes, not yet, I'm going to ask in just a few minutes for you to break off into like groups of five or six. I'm going to ask a leader to go with each group, and I want you to discuss some of the stuff that I've just shared with you. And this is important. Why do we do this? We do this because it's really easy to let some information go in one ear and out the other. And you guys have all experienced this, especially in June in like health class, right? Because you know that like the exams are over and all the information coming out is like, it's good maybe if you need it, but you're not going to be tested on it. Well, today I want you not to be tested, but I want you to discuss, what does this mean to you? What does this mean in your life? And you don't have to get, hear me out, you don't have to get personal, you don't have to get deep, you don't have to get like, you don't have to get all into your business, okay? I want you to feel as comfortable to share whatever you want or nothing at all. But I want to break up into groups of like five or six with a leader, or with a, some of the guys from the back will even come up front. They're going to play some music so that the people around you can't hear. Maybe even grab some seats and pull them off to the side so you can have some time and separation from other people. But I want you to answer four questions in order, and we're going to put them up on the screen, that simply help you to focus on what was just said and start to process out loud some of the things that you have sacrificed, some of the things that have owned you, and then take a step in faith. All right, so we're going to pray and then break off into groups and put some music on, and we'll have those questions up on the screen for you guys. And then I'll stop talking so you can talk this out. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the opportunity that you give us to become children of yours. God, I pray tonight for those who are in this room who have wrecked things, who, like me, can look back at their life and say, man, that was dumb. Why did I do that? But we can know with faith and knowledge that you love us anyway, and that you knew we were going to screw up before you called us to be your children. God, I thank you for loving us through our mistakes. And I pray tonight, God, that as we wrestle with these questions, as we talk through these issues, God, that you would make yourself known and that you would speak to our hearts and you would draw us to yourself. I praise you, God, and I thank you. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask you guys, just grab like three or four of your friends, grab some chairs, pull them off to the side. A leader will sit with you guys, and we're going to ask these questions to you and just go around the circle. Everybody will get a chance to answer one of the four, and then I'm going to stop talking so we can do that. All right? Ready? Set. Should I have you all stand up so that you can move freely? Stand up. Stand up. There you go. Stand up. Yeah. If there's two leaders in a group, that's fine. Stand up and just pull chairs off to the side if you need to. We've got about 10, 15 minutes. 10, make that 11 minutes.